God bless you, preacher. Open your Bible, if you will, please. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3. Philippians, chapter number 3. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment. So good to be here tonight in the service. Good to see you. And it's always a blessing to come back to the Island Ford Baptist Church and be with Brother Hall and the wonderful people here. Some of you do not know this, but this meeting is always a special meeting for me because it was in this meeting that God birthed the Harvest Time broadcast. We were closing this meeting 7 years ago, and in that particular year, it was on September the 1st. Brother Hall stood up here. I'd done turned it back over to him, and I'd gone over there, and Brother Hall said to the church, I believe the Lord wants us to give Brother Bruce some time on the radio to preach on missions and whatever God lays on his heart. And with that, we begun. And Brother Hall, this month, I added 2 more stations. I'm at 87 broadcasts a day now. The Lord willing, thank God for that. Plus, we go around the globe, I don't know, maybe nearly 40 times a day by internet streaming and the shortwave radio. God's been so gracious to us. It's been almost a miracle a month to keep us on. But we haven't had to drop a station, hadn't had to cut back. And the Lord's paid the bills. And I like what the black preacher said, and they said a way we can't say it. I'm not being a racist to say this. But the black preacher said he done it before, he can do it some more. And I just keep on preaching, amen, and trusting the Lord. And I appreciate what God's doing. Amen. Appreciate the Lord blessing. I appreciate this church and what the Lord is doing. You pray for us tonight. Let's stand together, please. Our Bible open, Philippians chapter number 3. I just want to say up front, I praise the Lord for this good year of my life. God's been so wonderful to me in the work of God in so many ways, and I bless Him and praise Him for it. And I want you to pray God will help us tonight from the Word of God. In Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Always remember that when you go on visitation. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus that have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. And then he goes into this pedigree. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Let me stop and make one statement here. That was about the top of the elite as far as religious pedigree is concerned. I mean, did I say it? That would be hard to match. That would be hard to live up to. But now look at verse number 7. Paul said, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We'll stop our reading there. Keep your Bible open this evening, please. And let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. And I do ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to anoint me tonight with a special way to bring God's message for this hour. our precious Heavenly Father, again, the Lord, this evening, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you once again that you let me be born in America, the land of Bibles, the land of churches, the land of Christians, the land of preachers. And the Lord, you let me hear the gospel, and you saved me by the marvelous grace of God. The Lord, you called me to preach, you put me in the ministry, you've kept me there. And the Lord, you have given me the joy and the victory that I have in knowing and serving you. Father, as a songwriter said, I owe it all to you, Lord. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, my efforts are vain. But Father, I pray tonight that you'll take me, touch me, transform me, and talk to me and through me to the heart of this people tonight. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Lord, may each of us tonight be like young Samuel, and not just in this particular hour, but in every aspect of every message. May we simply sit back and say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth thee. Oh, dear God, our brothers reminded us that you have no respect of person. And Lord, I pray that you'll put a hunger in every individual heart tonight to hear from God in these days, and let God say something that he wants to say to each of us. Do what you want to do. Do what needs to be done. May we all be blessed and strengthened as your people. May sinners be brought to Christ. And Lord, I pray this church and other churches will be strengthened by the power of your might. We'll praise you for what you do, because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Please keep your Bible open and seat in for the message for tonight from the Word of God. Now, I'm probably starting in something tonight. I will not get finished until tomorrow night. But I want to give you what I believe God wants me to tonight, and then trust the Lord to do what he wants to do if he wants me to finish it tomorrow night. But God has been working in my own heart this year, and I like it when God works in me. Brother Hall, I like to preach and watch God work in others. But I sure do love it when God's doing something in me when I'm not in the pulpit. Amen. Just reading the Word, spending time with God. But I want to preach tonight in just a little while on the subject, pursuing God. Pursuing God. Now the Bible said that he would be found of them that seek him. And he said, you shall find me, seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, lest you misunderstand me, I want to make this statement. In the matter of salvation, God always makes the move and pursues the sinner. But after God makes that move and pursues the sinner, then sometimes under conviction, God makes it where that sinner starts pursuing God. Now, you can argue that back and forth all you want to, but he was looking for me before I was looking for him. Before he got through with me, I was looking for him and pursuing God. But then I want to say this tonight. I'm not really dealing with pursuing God in the matter of salvation. I'm pursuing him in the matter of this Christian journey and knowing God and going on with God and letting God do that he wants to do in our lives for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch me just a moment. Let me give you a couple of verses and then I'll come to my text and preach this evening. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If I were to make one statement concerning most Christians I know today, there is absolutely no hunger for God in the average church member's life. Matter of fact, most of them have heard as much preaching as they want to hear. They've saw as much truth as they want to see. And they want to just be left alone and let me drift through this world, comfortable in the world, and go to heaven when I die.
But God said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we get hungry, God will feed us. When we get thirsty, God will give us something to drink. I'm saying to you, my friend, that God is saying to us, there's something more to being saved than just being saved, being baptized, and being a member of an independent fundamental Baptist church. There is a matter of knowing Him. Did I make this statement? There's a lot of people that know a lot about church, but know very little about God. Can I make another statement? There's a lot of people who know a lot of Bible, but know very little of a personal relationship and fellowship with God. Now I want to remind you, when Paul writes this text, he is not writing as a saved person. He is not writing as an unsaved person, that I may know him. Paul has been saved probably over 30 years. Now, when I study this and I give you this, and I've got to come to the text. The Bible is teaching us that there is a progressive understanding. There is a progressive knowledge. Can I say it? You can know Him today greater than you knew Him on yesterday. I feel sorry for that crowd of Christians who've got to live in the past, because that's where God was real to the event. He could be more real to us tonight than He's ever been in our life. That I may know Him. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, in this pursuit of God, God starts where I'm going to start. I'm going to start where God starts, I should say. And that is in the first three verses. I just mentioned this. Matter of fact, in the first six verses, if we're going to pursue God, God begins with a precaution. Can I say it? You can't know God in a greater way, just any old way. And you cannot know God in a greater way just by intellect. And can I say this? You cannot put God in your mold and make God take it your way and know Him better that way. God said, if you're going to know me, you're going to have to deal with some things that bothers most people, because we pride in these things. Number one, He said in verse number 3, that we must have no confidence in the flesh. Zero. Zip. Absolutely no confidence in the flesh. I can make one good statement about my flesh. Every time I've let it have its way, it got me in trouble. Big time. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, don't look at Stinnett Blue. Stinnett Blue is nothing but a sinner that's saved with the grace of God. I want to tell you, my flesh is wicked. My flesh is rotten. My flesh is corrupt. My flesh is ungodly. My flesh is anti-God. My flesh is just like yours. And we cannot and must not put any confidence at all in the flesh. Zero. No confidence in our flesh. Our fleshly accomplishments. Number two, in verse number 4, 5, and 6, without me dealing with it, we're going to go on with God. We can have no confidence in our family association. Paul talks about here how he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Can I say this tonight? If you've got a godly heritage, thank God for it. But your godly mama and papa, your godly mother and daddy, your godly preacher, your godly friends, do not gain favor with God in this matter of you going on with God. That's not going to be born. My preacher got me close to God. My daddy got me close to God. I'm telling you, the Bible said no confidence in fleshly association and no confidence in family association. Then that's not where it is. I don't care who you are, what you've done. Those things will not accomplish anything in this matter of pursuing God. Number three. We find in verse number 7 and 8 again, would have no confidence in formal activities that we might have done. Paul talked about how he was circumcised, how he kept the law, how that he was full of zeal, how he persecuted the church. I want to say it again. These things are things that even good church members and preachers pride in, and that pride robs us from the privilege of going on with God and knowing God as we ought to know Him. There's a precaution. There is a precaution. As soon as the Holy Ghost gives me a green light, I want to move to that next one. But there is a precaution. It's not in the flesh. It's not in my ability. It's not in my personality. It's not in my knowledge. It's not in my looks. It's not in my speaking. It's not in my... Now, it's not in me. It's in Him and Him alone that we're going to have recognition with God Almighty. Now, so notice the second thing. Not only there is the precaution, but following in verse number 7, 8, and 9, there are the priorities. The priorities must be right. Look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Now, watch for just a moment. Can I make a statement this way? I think I'm rather normal. I think I have the same type of flesh and, you know, humanity that you have. So, having said that, I just go ahead and say this. I have never been satisfied with the way God made me. I hear another preacher and I think, man, I wish I could preach like him. I hear somebody else testify, I wish I could do that. I wish I could pray like him. But you know what? If we had those things that we do not have, they would probably produce such pride in our life till God could never use us. Let me make a statement. Now, if this turns you off, just hang around. You'll get turned back on back in the dining hall in a little while. Music runs in my family. Most all of my sisters play the pianos. Both my daughters play organs and pianos. And we play guitars. And yes, we run music. There's an element, Brother Hall, if I had to really develop my piano playing, I could be a good piano player. I'm not boasting. I'm just simply saying I could be. If you don't know music, I can still make that thing sound good. If you know music, it's hypocritical what I'm doing. I mean, I'm just facing the fact about it. But I can still make it sound good if you don't know music. But the potential is now in me if I had developed it. You say, why didn't you? I really don't know. I hope I didn't miss God's plan, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. I'm afraid, Brother Shepherd, knowing me, if I could really tickle them ivories. Look what Stinnett Blue can do. I'm telling you, nobody plays a piano like Stinnett Blue. Have you heard Stinnett Blue play? Come on now, I know I'm there. Every one of us have to battle with what we're dealing with. Paul said, I've got all these pluses. They should be in the flesh, counted gains. But he said, I tell you what I've done. Every plus I had in my pedigree, in my family, in my formalities, in my flesh, every one that looked like was something to my good, I counted them not for me as a gain, but against me as a loss. See, if there's one lesson we've got to learn, it's this. God will not share His glory.
Anything that brings attention to ourself, God backs off from it. So Paul said, I got my figuring pad out. Let everything that looked like in the flesh and in the eyes of the people that should be a plus to me, he said, I just marked it off and counted it with loss. Fact is, there are three statements in verse number 8 and 9. I want you to notice verse number 8. He said in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. I'm not here to teach English, but the word counted there is past tense. But when you come to verse number 8, he said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Look at me just a moment. Can I say it this way? Paul said, I done it. I counted it lost way back down the road somewhere. There's a lot of people done that, but they forgot. I will tell you what I'm dealing with tonight. One trip to the altar, one consecration, one dedication will not last a lifetime. Paul said, I have done it. I am still doing it. When we come to the altar and we put ourselves on God's altar and we count some things but lost, we need to get up every day of our life and just mark them off again and count them but lost for Christ. He said, not only I have counted, and he said, I do count if I could say it that way. But he said, I count, but then he said down the last part, he said, I do count them. And he uses a word that's not too pleasant. He said, everything that looks good for me, I count it but dung. Can I make a statement that we'll understand? He said, I flush it down the commode. I get rid of it. I get rid of it. Oh, I feel like I'm plowing here and I can't move on as fast as I thought I would. I want to tell you, there needs to be some self-examination on what you're glorying in. In a few days, I will finish 49 years of preaching. And I glory in that to some degree, but I want it to keep it in the right perspective. It's not me, it's been him. He started it and he's kept it this long. And I want to tell you, my friend, I owe it all to him. I glory, we glory in these things. But Paul is saying, everything that looked like a plus. And a lot of our life is built upon, if I could just do it. Listen, God knows what we need, and God gave us everything we need to honor God to the best of our potential. And we don't need what somebody else has got. We need to give what we've got to God, and let God bless our nothingness with His everything. Priorities, precautions. But then I want you to notice, can I use the word his prayer? Or you might want to use the word his plea, it doesn't matter. There are five statements coming up in verse number, the latter part of verse number 8 down through verse number 13, I guess it is verse number 12, that I want to build upon for a little while tonight. Can I make this statement? The Bible teaches us that God will give us the desires of our heart. Now my statement is this. I'm afraid He has. I'm afraid what we are reveals the real desire. If I wanted to know more, I could learn more. If I wanted more power, I could pray more. If I want to see more people saved, I could go after more. But I'm satisfied being what I am, and God lets us stay there. But notice Paul's statements. In verse number 8, he said that I may win Christ. Now, I know I'm the one that's supposed to be doing the preaching tonight, but I'm going to tell you, I wish I knew what all that statement encompasses. Amen. That I may win Christ. Amen. Can I remind you, Paul has been saved 30 years or more. He's not talking about winning him in the matter of salvation. And by the way, let me make this statement. Christ is not in the lottery business. You don't draw a number and win him. It's something Brother Hall liked, a statement made over in the book of Jude, where the Bible said, keep in yourself in the love of Christ. I believe there is an area we can walk with God and win His fellowship, His approval, His anointing, His touch upon our lives. Are you saying, Brother Blue, you're doing that in the flesh? No, I'm saying you cooperate with God, but God will not do it if you rebel against Him. But there can, if everything we've done, if all of our life, can I make this gesture, if we just looked up to heaven to see, does it meet God's approval? We look at the brethren. How are they going to respond? What are they going to say? Well, once in a while, Brother Hall, if we just look up and see if God's nodding His approval on our life, that I may win Christ. Then the next verse comes on with the second statement. He said, and be found in Him. Now, I'm trying to stay out of trouble, but just let me speak plainly for a moment. Without hesitation and without an apology, I am an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible only, premillennial, pre-tribulation Baptist preacher and Christian. And I love this crowd of people. I love this crowd of people. I like to be identified with this crowd. But I want to tell you something. This crowd is not what's going to make me or break me. I love the applause of the brethren, but I know by the grace of God, you can go on with God without the applause and approval of the brethren. You got Him? Come on now, don't down me. That I may win Him. You see, what Paul is saying is, I want Him to be the permeating factor. I want Him. That's why I don't want you to see Stinny Blue. I don't want you to hear Stinny Blue. I want you to sense the power and presence of God on my life. That where I am, He may be recognized because He is with me in a special way because of my communion and my relationship with Him. Now, you know I love illustrations, and I was looking for an illustration to explain this, and I was in a meeting, and I walked back a hallway, and I met a young man, and please don't get critical of what I'm fixing to say. I met a young man, and he was dressed rather nice, nice suit and tie on, and, you know, looked like a fine young gentleman. And it was a kind of a slow go hall, and the crowd was not moving that fast, and before, as I approached him, here we go. Before I ever got no more than 6 or 8 foot from him, I smelled his cologne. Now, cologne does smell better than some things I've smelled about men. So I'm not fussing about that. I walked on by him, preacher, and we passed in the hall. He's going one way, and I was going the other. And it seemed like for a minute or two after he'd done gone, that's all I could do is smell that aroma. I don't know what kind of suit he had on. I don't know what kind of tie he had on. I don't know how his hair was fixed. I do not know how old he was. But he was just completely engulfed in the fragrance of that cologne. I thought, that's the way I want to be with Christ. I would like to have such a relationship with Him that when I walk into your presence, you can, and I say it, please, you could smell God. You could sense God. You could feel God. I'm telling you, it's possible for all of us, and most of us don't have it in that way on our life. But Paul said, but I may win Christ and be found in Him. There's a lot of groups of Baptists, and I'm not, and independent Baptists, I'm not striking at anybody. I'm trying to stay out of trouble, preacher. I usually wear traditional suits, traditional shoes, you know, just, I usually dress pretty much like we've always dressed. Then I get in one crowd and don't dial me now, please. They got their cowboy boots, they got their western suits, and they've got their bolo ties, they've got the red hankies they wave. That don't bother me. But that doesn't make us godly. My traditional suit does not make me godly. What I'm saying is, and Christians will dress right, but all we're so emphasizing that we got this, 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 and this, then we'll be like, no, that's not it. We've got to have Him. We've got to have Him. We've got to have Him. And if God gets on us, my friend, then the flesh is conquered, and people will take knowledge. We may be ignorant and unlearned, but we have been with Jesus. Number three, he said, not only that I may win Christ and be found in Him, but then after being saved for 30, 35 years, he said that I may know Him. Please hear me. Salvation is instantly, and it's eternally. You never get any more saved or saveder. But I want to tell you, knowing Him is a progressive revelation of Himself to us through His Word, through the working of His grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I met the young lady who's now my wife for 47 years. I met her in November of 1960. We courted for almost a year and a half. In June of 1962, I married her. We married each other. Had you come to me the day before I married my wife and said to me, Brother Blue, do you know that woman you're about to marry? Do you know what I just said? Sure. We've been courting for 18 months. Do I know her? But I found out after I married her. And I'm not talking in a negative sense. I didn't know her like I thought I did. When we had been married just say 5 years, I knew her in a different way than I did before I married her. Of course, I learned that in 5 days, but I'm talking about 5 years. I got to make a jump. When we had been married 20 years, I knew her in a different way. And can I say it? After 47 years, I am still learning things about her. I was saved in August 1951. 58 years ago. Just a couple of weeks gone by. If you would have said to me that night, walking home from church, do you know the Lord? I'd said, yes, I know Him. You'd have come to me as a teenage boy. Years later, let me just jump at 18, when I really went into the surrendering business and God was dealing with life about preaching, and I spent those months laying aside all the weights and all the sin that was so easily besetting me. And I got to the point where I really felt like, Brother Hall, that I had got pretty much right with God. I dealt with every issue God had brought up in my life. And you say, Brother Blue, do you know Him? I'd say, yes, I know Him. And I know Him tonight better than I knew Him when He saved me many years ago. I want to tell you, thank God, that did not stop when I got 18 years old, and it did not stop when I got 20 years old, and it did not stop at 30, it did not stop at 40, it did not stop at 50. I want to tell you, well, I know Him tonight in a greater manner than I've ever known Him before.
to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the fourth statement. Not only that I may win Christ and be found in Him, that I may know Him. But then he said in verse number 11, if by any means, verse number 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, watch me just a moment. He is not talking about out there after he dies in the future. He is talking about we can know the resurrection and its power in this life. We can know Him in the power of His resurrection, and we can attain to it. You say, how do we do that, preacher? Well, there can never be a resurrection until there's a death. And the more we know Him in dying to ourself, the greater we know Him in His resurrection. But quickly, let me give you the fifth thing. Look at verse number 13. He said in verse number 12 is what I want. He said in the middle of verse number 12, not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after. Watch this. Here it is. If I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now look at me just a moment. That word apprehended is a law enforcement term. You hear on the news where they apprehended a criminal, they apprehended the murderer. Paul said, I've been apprehended, I've been arrested. Paul could say, and listen, I'm not a Calvinist to say this, but Paul would say, one day I was going down the road, and the God of glory sent the person and power of the Holy Spirit to that Damascus road, and He laid hands on me and brought me under conviction. But he said, you know what? He apprehended me. But now then, I want to apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. If I can get that through to us, if God will speak to us right there for a moment, it might help us. See, God has got a plan. I need a better amen than that. I could call every person in here by name that I can call by name. And I could say to you, Brother Brown, the day God saved you, He didn't say, now you just do the best you can. I'm going back up to heaven, develop a plan for your life. And come back 60 days later and say, Brother Ben, I got it worked out now. Brother Hall, same thing. Brother Donnie, same thing. The day! The day in that new crown when the Holy Ghost came where I was and laid hold on me. He had a plan, a place, a purpose for my life. And what Paul is saying is, just like He laid hold on me, I will lay hold on what He laid hold on me for. I want to get a hold of what He got a hold of me for. Help us, Lord. He had a plan. And I want to latch on to that plan. He had a purpose. I want to latch on that purpose. He had a place. I want to latch on that place. I want to put my hands on everything that God had in mind when He put His hands on me. To me, one of the fears of the judgment seat of Christ will be when I see the potential of my life and God's plan and the reality of my life. Am I making it plain? Can I say it this way? When I see, Brother Joel, what I could have been compared to what I have been. Paul said, I don't want to stand there and look up there and say, boy, I wish I had, I wish I had, I wish I had, I wish I had. I want to lay hand on everything God had in His mind when He laid hands on me and saved me by the grace of God. Let me give you a final thought, and I'm through.
Not only is there priorities, there is the precaution, there's the priorities, there's the plea of the prayer. But I want you to notice three simple things in this pursuit. And I'm going to close for tonight. I want you to watch for just a moment. Look at the pulpit. Brother Hall, most of us, if we could stay up from where we're at to where God's will is for our life in one step, we'd do it in a minute. But it doesn't come by one trip to the altar. It does not come by one reading or several readings of the Scripture. Say, preacher, how can I get where God's plan for me is? I marvel at the simplicity of these three statements. Number one, in verse number 12, verse number 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. If you're making notes, underline this or write it out. Reaching God's will for our life and God's place for our life and knowing Him as we want to starts with a forgetting of the past. Would you let me borrow your attention just a moment, your imagination? Can you imagine a huge belt around my waist? The back side of my body there in that belt is attached to a chain. The chain is anchored in the floor or the wall behind me. And that anchor is my past. Have you got the picture? Every time I decide I'm going to do something for God, my past pulls me back. Now I want you to hear me. That past can be failures, but it can also be successes. Sometimes successes do more damage to us in the long run than failures do. Who of us preachers have not preached one time and boy had a time and didn't prepare for that Sunday night service and come back and it be dead as 4 o'clock? Then who among us have not flubbed the dub on Sunday morning and spent all afternoon with God and come back that night and glory moved in? See, what God is saying is this. This matter of pursuing God and going on with God, you can't operate on the past. When you operate on the past, you miss the present and mess up the future. God wants us to, yes, thank Him, enjoy Him, praise Him, but we got to move on from the past and live in the present. If you're going to know Him and find Him and win Him and apprehend Him, you can't do it by hanging on to the past. Forgetting the past. Number two, if you look again in the same verse of Scripture, Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. It's up in verse number 12. He said, but I follow after. In the pursuit, there's not only a forgetting the past, but in the pursuit, there's got to be a following after. Now watch me just a moment. Oh, God help us. Our Christian life is filled. Can I use this? Don't laugh at me. But I mean, our Christian life is just filled with spurts. You know, boy, I mean, we're going to really do something for God, and we fizzle out. A month later, we get in a good meeting. Man, we're going to do something for God, and we fizzle out. You know how you get to know God? You start a steady pace of walking with His Word, spending time in prayer, and some things of that nature. You don't accomplish it by one trip to the altar. It's got to be a continual following after. Simple illustration, but I remember when I was a young preacher, a couple of dispensations ago, I would listen to those 25-year-old preachers preach and they'd tell what God done for them. And Brother Hall, I said, man, I wish I could preach that like that. I've even told some of their stories and they went to sleep on me. They shouted on them, but they went to sleep on me because it was not my own personal experience. Now, I guess I'm the only one here that's ever done that, but I know I'm not. But you know what? You know how you become a 25-year preacher? You start and you preach the first year. You preach the second year. You preach the third year. You preach a fourth year, and you just keep on thumping. You know how you get where you ought to be with God? Don't just start and stop and turn around. You start, and you continually keep going on with God. Keep on following after.
Forgetting the past! Following in the present!
But then look at verse number 13, and I close. He said, and reaching forth. Let me borrow your attention just a moment. Forgetting the past. Following the present. Watch me just a moment. And reaching. Watch me. Is everybody watching me every hour with me just a moment? I'm not talking about this kind of reaching. You see what I'm doing with my hand? For you on the radio, I've got my hand raised just about eyeball level. I could put it up another 6 inches. I'm not talking about that kind of reaching.
Right. Amen.
I'm not talking about just a casual straight arm up reaching. I'm talking about a stretching and straining.
Yes, sir.
That's in me. It's like a straining, reaching. If I could get up on that pulpit, Brother Hall, I could reach a little higher. There's two or three things that keeps me from it. It's not because I got too much pride to get up there. It's just I'd have too much pride when I fail. But I want you to latch on to that. Forgetting. Whatever there is in your past that you are building any of your confidence on, forget it. Forget it.
Start! Following after, constant, consistent,
cooperating with God.
Amen.
And like a dissatisfied person,
yes. Right.
Reach. I want to tell you, when God sees a hand reaching up, He's got a hand that reaches down.
And what you cannot do yourself, God will help you do it.
You say, Brother Blue, this is mission meeting. I hope you get the message. Missions is a whole lot more than just giving money and going across the sea. Missions is pursuing the heartbeat of God, the will of God. And I want to tell you, if God does the right kind of work in our hearts, He won't have any problem doing the work in our wallets come Sunday morning. But He said that I may win Christ. That I may be found in Him. That I may know Him. That I might attain to the resurrection. That I might apprehend after all so which I am apprehended. I've not accomplished yet. But I'm forgetting the things of the past. I'm following on in the present. And I'm reaching forward. Can I make this statement? Are you ready for me to say this? I come up on one foot as I am now, and I'm reaching for all that's in me, and yet it's still above my reach. I don't know what's hard about that, but I get tired doing it. See, we're so sold out on a comfortable Christianity. I love shouting, but we're so sold out on the shouted out. Without ever knowing Him.
Amen.
Knowing Him. The pursuit. Forgetting what's behind.
Following
what He's doing in the present. But forth reaching. I make this statement and leave it with you tonight. Are you ready? Please hear me. If you are satisfied where you are with God in your Christian life, you will never go any farther. But oh, if somehow the Holy Ghost will help you to know, Brother Doug, there is more.
There's more! It's just that I'm somehow in my reach and I stretch and I press. Somehow it is within my reach.
To get 58 years I've been saved. 49 years I've been preaching. Now, I don't say bragging on me at all, Brother Harden, but there's still a hunger to go on with God. To reach a little higher. Dig a little deeper. Learn a little more. Know more about Him. I have not arrived. I'm not yet apprehended. But I don't want to just sit down and take it easy like it is and say, well, I'm ahead of that crowd. I've come further than they have. No, for all that's in me, I want to reach. I'd like to get up there where I could lay hold on what God has got for me in my life. Matter of fact, let me give you this. I am closing. Romans 12:1, 12:2. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word perfect there doesn't mean to hit the bullseye, as we often indicate. That word perfect is the same word that Christ used hanging on the cross when He said it's finished. Telestia. You know what it means in the context there? Brother Hall, before I die, I'd like to reach as high, the height of God's plan.
Amen.
When He saved me. I'd like to encompass the breadth of God's plan when He saved me. I don't want to leave any stone unturned that God had in His plan for my life. You say, can you accomplish that, preacher? If I keep on keeping on, forgetting the past, following the present, forth reaching, God will not require anything out of us that He does not enable us to accomplish if we'll go on with God. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our musicians coming. Precautions. No confidence in fleshly associations. No accomplishments in the family connection. No confidence in formal accomplishments. Our priorities, what things look like a plus, or to become a loss for us. Count them but dumb. But then there's our prayer. What? If you had a request to make of God tonight, if you were allowed of God to petition God for something in particular, what would you like to have? Paul said, I've got five. I want to win Christ. I want to be found in Him. I want to know Him. I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And I want to lay hand, I want to apprehend that for also which I am apprehended for in Christ Jesus. I promise you, if you're satisfied where you're at with God, you will never go any farther. But if there's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's a desire to know Him, to be found in Him, to win Him, it is reachable and it is attainable in Christ tonight. Father, honor Your word. Create in our hearts a hunger and a thirst. Dear Lord, You said in Your word, the psalmist said, there's a heart paineth after the water brook, so paineth my soul after Thee. Burn in our hearts a holy hunger for the Savior. The Savior filled life. The Scripture filled life. The Spirit filled life. Oh, dear God, that we'll not be satisfied because we know the ABCs of Bible doctrine. We'll not be satisfied just because we're a member of a Baptist church. Oh, God, we'll be satisfied only by dwelling in His presence and reaching that place that God planned for us to reach while here in this world. Do what You wanted to do, what needs to be done tonight. I'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. They're singing several in the altar praying. If you need to come, be obedient. Sing it, dear brother, when you're ready. Be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. That I may win Christ. That I may be found in Him. That I may know Him. That I might attain the resurrection of the dead. That I might apprehend that for also which I am apprehended of Christ. Do you have a hunger for God tonight? Do you have a hunger for righteousness? Would you like to know Him? Not about Him, but know Him. Be obedient while we sing together, dear brother. Sing.